Joining me now is Jay Woolgoose Esquire, who's the brains, I suppose, behind Public Service Broadcasting. Great to have you with us, Jay.
Thank you, yeah. Nice to talk to you.
And for those Cricket World listeners and viewers who maybe haven't listened to your music, just give us a feel about what you guys are about.
Yeah, I do struggle to describe what we do, because it's a slightly odd proposition, I suppose, but we basically... We take samples, me and my companion Wigglesworth, who plays the drums, take samples from old archive films and sort of propaganda footage, documentaries, public information films, sort of various different kinds, I suppose, and we sample them and write new songs around them and kind of give them a sort of new musical backing based on our own interpretation of them, I suppose, and then sort of adding an extra spin on that when we actually play it live, we re-edit the films and the footage that we sample to kind of map what we're playing. And it sounds odd. Maybe it makes more sense if you just kind of look it up.
Well, I think you're right, because I've had a bit of a listen, and I have to say I was a little bit sort of sceptical, but I think it works really well. I really quite enjoyed it, and I love your mission statement, sort of, you know, trying to teach the lessons of the past through the music of the future, and I suppose that's where the sort of re-editing live comes in.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few things that are tongue-in-cheek about us, and I suppose that mission statement is one of them. That, you know, I think that came out of trying to write a snappy line for the Edinburgh Fringe a few years ago. And it's kind of following us around that line, and we don't entirely mean that. I think we're primarily focused on sort of entertaining people, I suppose. And you know, there are obviously things about our music and the footage that we sampled that are interesting, and people can, you know, like a lot of bands who've used historical material as the basis for their songs. You know, people are perfectly well to go and kind of around in that, but it's not necessarily. We're not trying to be like a history lesson. It's definitely about sort of entertaining people.
Mm. And your debut album, Inform, Educate, Entertain, released in May 2013. That's had fantastic acclaim, hasn't it? Done superbly well.
It's done far better than I ever thought it would do. I always thought, I kind of started this about, well, over 5 years ago now. It's just something to keep me occupied, really, and something I thought was a bit of fun. And I never thought I'd find an audience, much less, you know, go on to find, you know, what is to me quite a staggeringly large audience. It's incredibly surprising. We're very happy with how well it's been received.
Where does the sort of inspiration to sort of start doing it come from? You said that it was a bit of fun, but how did it sort of all come about?
Yeah, I mean, it was purely for my own amusement. I just heard a Radio 4 documentary about the release of some BF line, and I've kind of made songs with samples in for several years, just, you know, just mucking around, really, just for my own pleasure rather than anything else. And I ended up sampling a couple of these old, like, 50s public information films, and then I sort of thought, actually, it'd be quite a nice thing to do to sort of make an album where each song was a different, you know, it was kind of a concept album based on each song being a different, you know, film source or something. And then I thought that was a horrendously pretentious idea and I definitely shouldn't do it, but then ended up doing it anyway, and it turned out to be quite good fun.
And have you had a thought or tried sort of weaving any sort of cricket-related audio in yet?
There is actually, there's some great footage I saw on the Channel 4 News a couple of years ago. I think it's been released by the BFI, or an offshoot of them. But there's one from the 50s, I think, about the game of cricket and what is it about this game that holds such a unique charm for the English sporting fan and so on. It's definitely, you know, it's definitely in the potential box.
Good stuff. And you've had a US tour this year. You're off to Scandinavia soon as well, so... Globetrotting, really?
Yeah, we get about a bit. We did about 150 shows last year, and we're kind of looking close to matching that this year. We tend to sort of say yes whenever people say, do you want to come and play? Yeah, we're like, anyway. So, yeah, at least some interesting journeys.
So I suppose in that respect, you might sort of be able to relate to sort of international cricketers who talk a lot about sort of living out of hotel rooms.
Yeah, I mean... I think they probably go away for a lot longer than we did in single stretches. I away for longer than sort of 5 or 6 weeks, possibly at most. So it's not too hard on, you know, sort of family members, partners, etc. Not ideal, obviously, but, you know, you find a way to make things work. But, it kind of has its own challenges, I suppose. And, it can, you know, nobody wants to hear that, that sort of being in a band on tour can be quite hard work and a bit, you know, lonely at times, I suppose. But, you know, you certainly don't want to complain about it because it's an amazing job to have. But I suppose in that respect, I can see how, you know, we could be going through some of the same things that cricketers go through, although they've got a kind of team infrastructure around them, I suppose, that ameliorates that a bit.
Mm. I understand you guys are cricket fans. Do you get to play much these days?
I think it's for the best for everyone if I try not to play at all. I think the last time I played was on my brother's stag do. We had a kind of a 10-a-side impromptu plastic knockabout, which is really good fun. But, wasn't much to write home about, sadly.
So which sort of teams do you follow?
Well, I've got an older brother, and growing up we could never support the same teams in anything, because it had to be competitive, obviously. And he supported Surrey, who were a local team, being from South West London. So I used to follow Kent via CFAX mostly, and you know, I remember watching Carl Hooper amass many a century, and just imagining him out there in his little hat, knocking them around. But I haven't kept up to date with Kent at all, really. I'm a member of Surrey for going along to test matches. My whole family tends to try and get along to the tests when they're at the Oval. I was at the Ashes last year, and I think I did one day of the India test this year as well. I like to try and get along when I can, but we're away so much at the moment, it's quite sort of hard to keep in touch with all.
Yeah, and I suppose you mentioned CFAX there, but I suppose I imagine you sort of keep up to date with things like Twitter and the internet. That makes it a bit easy, but there's nothing like being there, is it? You mentioned there you've got along to some test cricket. The atmosphere is fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think actually, obviously cricket and test cricket in particular is a game that divides people, and you do find some people who, you know, would just label it boring, and I find that quite frustrating, really, because out of all the games, you know, all the sports that I follow, it's the one that's kind of endlessly more and more interesting. The more you know about it, the more you understand about it, the more interesting it becomes. And there is, you know, there's so much to know about it. There's so many sort of things going on in the game of cricket that I just find it a fascinating experience. And actually being there first hand to see it is, if you've never done it, I'd certainly recommend it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yes, so did we, sort of very obviously. What did you make of England's performance this summer, you know, from what you've seen and sort of read about and watched?
Well, I think it kind of continued for me what I saw last summer with the Ashes, which, you know, it was obviously a 3-0 win. And you know, some people seem sort of quite happy about that, but I really didn't think we played that much good cricket, and we weren't convincing on a number of levels. And certainly wasn't surprised that we took a bit of a hammering down under. I think there were just a few imbalances in the team, really. It just not really firing. The batting hadn't been firing properly for a long time. Some quite appalling performances in Australia. I think it's just, you know, there's a few big names that have come and gone. We've lost Graham Swan, who's been, you know, one of the best consistent spinners in the world for some time now. And it's going to take some time to sort of adjust the balance of the team to find a new way to win games regularly. And I think we've kind of seen the start of that this summer.
Yeah, where do you stand on the KP issue?
Well, I always loved watching him bat. Mm. Loved watching him come out of bat. You know, you knew you were going to see something worth watching. I can understand he might be a bit of a divisive presence. I'm certain that with a player with that much talent, there must be a sort of equal amount of ego, which certainly sounds like there is. I haven't really followed the kind of who is behind dropping him and who kind of backed him being in the team. Yeah, it's a shame that he's no longer in the international cricket scene, certainly.
But you can sort of watch him as he sort of goes around the globe playing in all these 2020 tournaments. Do you get to follow those at all?
I've got to say, 2020 doesn't do it for me. It's kind of like cartoon cricket.
Mm.
It's not got any of the depth or interest of what makes Test cricket such a great game. I can get away with 50 over games. You know, there's some excitement there occasionally. But yeah, 20 over cricket, it doesn't have any of the kind of the subtleties that for me are what makes cricket such a fascinating game.
I mean, it's interesting because I think almost everybody has a sort of slightly different view, whether it's tests, ODIs, 20 over cricket. It's very interesting to sort of talk to different people about it. 50 over cricket, you just briefly mentioned there, the World Cup, of course, coming up. Do you think England have got any chance?
When was the last time we won one of these?
Well, we've never won the 50 over World Cup. We won the T20 a few years ago.
We did win the T20.
Yeah, with KP as man of the series. So
Merritt West.